Have your Bibles. I want you to open your Bibles with me today to the supplemental text of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. We are so glad to have you here today. We've got visitors from all over. I can't wait to call some of my buddies. I had someone drive all the way from Addison to hear me preach. Lord, I know she came to visit kin folks, but it's how you tell the story. But now, we want God to bless us today. How many of you knows what today is? It's 50 days since the crucifixion, since Passover. Do anybody know what happens on 50 days or 7 complete weeks? Amen. It's called Pentecost. Hello? And that may not mean nothing to some churches, but we Pentecostal. That ought to mean something to you. Hello? The resurrection by far is the most important thing that ever happened to mankind. Somebody said, what about the crucifixion? If he died and stayed dead, wouldn't still be no hope for us. My hope is not that he died. My hope is that once he died, he came forth from the grave with victory over death, hell, and the grave. And then he said, I am he that was dead, yet now I'm alive, and I'm going to live forevermore. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me, though they die, yet shall they live. If he was dead, he wouldn't be any better than the rest of the gods of this world, because they worship their grave. But his grave is empty. His tomb's empty because he's gone. He left this world. But guess what? He made a promise. He said, I make a promise to you that I will not leave you comfortless. But if I go away, I pray the Father, he sent another comforter, that he may abide with you forever and forever. Come on, church. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody said, well, preacher, do you think you got to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? No, you got to be saved to go to heaven. You got to have the Holy Ghost to make it. Ever since I found out there was a Holy Ghost, I'm glad I found him, because I finally figured out a way to make it. Hello? Listen, y'all heard me. I'm Baptist, Methodist, Nazarene, Presbyterian, Catholic, Lutheran. And I got in the Church of God, and they told me something about the Holy Ghost, and I said, really? I mean, I've never been to a Pentecostal church in my life till the night I got saved. And I go in, I get saved, and they start revival back a week or later, and I get to finding out all kind of stuff. I got to preaching about faith one night, and I found out there was stuff called faith. Didn't know what faith was. I'd never heard it. Got talking about the rapture. I'd never heard about rapture. I got thinking every time I went to church, they just had something new they'd tell you about. I went down there, and this guy got a preacher one night and said, you need to get sanctified. I reached up, tapped old boy on the shoulder, said, what's that? He said, I don't know, but you need it. I went to that altar, started praying, and I had no idea that I probably got sanctified the night I got saved. Well, I said, well, it's a second step of grace, but it can happen at the same time or just afterwards. And I'm sanctified by the blood, so I got sanctified to some extent when I got saved. Hello? But I went home after church, burnt 4 cartons of cigarettes, poured a bunch of pills out, and busted a bottle of whiskey that I'd forgot I had. Or vodka. I didn't drink whiskey. If I'd have found it, I might not have went to church and got saved, but God was in the works, and I forgot it was under the seat. And after I got back home, we were throwing stuff out, and I noticed that, and I got the bottle out and throwed it down and busted it, and I shouted and run, had a big time. That's what them other boys was doing. Every time I'd break something else, they'd run. I started running with them. You say, ain't no big deal. You ever tried to run in a backyard in the dark where they got gophers and stuff digging holes you can step in? Glory. None of us was worried about it. We're just having church in my backyard. Kind of glad my mom and dad wasn't there. They might not have understood. Amen. I finally got up there, and they got to praying with me, and they bounced me all over the place, held my head, jumped around with me like tore my head off my shoulders, and I got to figuring out I had to let go and hold on at the same time. Glory. Finally, I shouted. One of them said, oh, you're sanctified. I said, man, I got it now. Whew, I'm loaded. I went back to church the next night, and the old boy turned around again. He said, you need the Holy Ghost. I said, what's that? He said, it's better than what you got last night. Glory. Now, you got to understand I was not theologically sound because I wasn't in church. He'd been raised in church. He wasn't theologically sound. His granddaddy was a preacher, and he wasn't theologically sound. But we were in our teens. I was 19. He was like 15 or 16. He was my spiritual guide. The blind was leading the blind. We didn't get in the ditch. Somehow or another, we ended up the rest of that week, and they started revival at Cody, Alabama, and I went to Cody. Amen. To the revival. Middle of nowhere in the Belt community. I go to that church, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I found out what he said was true. It was better than what I'd gotten before. Hello? I thank God that boy's grown up a little bit since he pastors Muscle Shoals Church of God. But hope he's figured out how to explain to somebody something. But I want to tell you this morning, we're celebrating one of the greatest portions of what God has done, other than the significance of the cross and the resurrection, that the church world could know. And what's sad is we've got people in the church of God that says, we don't need that anymore. Hogwash. Why, we can fix up our buildings and dress up and do different, and we can get people in church and we can have a social gathering. I got news for you. Social gatherings is okay if that's what you want, but I want a church that's alive and vibrant in the power of God. And for that to happen, God's got to breathe on that church a breath and a power and an anointing of his Holy Spirit. Glory. God does everything the same. He created man from the dust of the earth. Just scooped him up a little mud, dude. Blowed on him, and he got him started naming animals. Running a zoo. I have fun with that because I walk up to somebody and they tell me that this lady's in the oldest profession. And I say, she works at the zoo? It'll make them mad, but that's biblical. Adam messed up. Man fell. Sin came into the life of man. Man was separated from God again. And the Bible said in that separation, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, meaning that literally to God, we did not exist. And then suddenly Jesus comes. And he dies on the cross, and he sheds the blood for our sins. And now we have a right to new life. And the Bible said we are regenerated through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are recreated, so to speak. Amen. Reformed by the power of God. And suddenly we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And a lot of people get to that point, and then they say, okay, I've made it. I've arrived. But you are reformed and you're regenerated. But are you alive? Is there faith in your heart? Is there joy in your spirit? Is there a peace that passes all understanding? See, I believe that even though you're born again and you become a new creature, there still needs to be something else happen, and that is the inbreathing of the power and the grace and the glory of Almighty God into your life. Amen. You say, preacher, you can't prove that. Bible tells me Jesus took the disciples out. John chapter 20, verse 21, and the Bible said he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That breath that God breathed into that little mud dude is the same breath Jesus preached into those disciples, or breathed into those disciples that day on that hill. Amen. Because it's not the out breath of a man's air, because he's no longer a man. He's a glorified spirit when he breathes on them. And it was the actual transference of the power and the authority of his ministry to those men. He said, now I want you to do something. Go stay till you be endued with power from on high. That power that's going to give you a joy. That power that's going to bring life to your spirit, man. That power that's going to make you an overcomer in the midnight hour. When you lost your song, it's going to give you a new song. It's going to help you make it. That's the kind of power we need in the church today. Could you say amen? Lord, I want to talk to you for just a little while this morning on what is probably an unusual message. Some of you probably have noticed something that I was noted for much when I evangelized. I think way outside the box. Hello? I used to have preachers come to me and said, where did you come up with that? And I said, I was just thinking. As long as it's in the book, it's okay. I want to talk to you this morning. The title of my message is simply this: what the devil saw at Pentecost. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. God, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, you're beautiful. And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Everybody's looking at each other smiling. Tim just sitting there like, ain't nobody said nothing to him. Lord, we love you, brother. According to the Jewish calendar, a day called Pentecost is where all males were obligated to appear before God. It was one of 3 days where men went and offered sacrifices to God every year. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 16 said, 3 times a year shall all the males appear before the Lord God in a place which he shall choose. And the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, they shall not appear before the Lord empty. For every man shall give of his able according to the blessing of the Lord God which he hath given. Amen. So there were 3 times a year man was expected to come before God and offer sacrifices and to bless God. And notice this, you didn't just bring a sacrifice, you brought an offering. Hello? One of them would be the Feast of Weeks. It is the end of the barley harvest. It's the end of the grain harvest, rather. Amen. And they come and they bring a cereal offering. Isn't it amazing? We didn't invent cereal. God knew about it a long time ago. Amen. I can see them bringing in Rice Krispies and Wheat Chex. They ain't made yet, but they've got them. Glory. Amen. And they bring those offerings in and they give them to God. Actually, they took the grain and made it into 2 loaves of leavened bread that had been salted, and they brought it to God. But they also brought an offering with it, and they offered it unto God. This was called the end of the harvest. It's a time of celebration, a time when people would really begin to worship and worship God, because things were going to change. They weren't going to have to work as hard the rest of the year, because the other harvests didn't require as much operation from them as the one they had just gotten through with. And now we've got the harvest going, everything's going good, it's looking good. Amen. And all of a sudden Jesus comes along and he puts down a thing in Luke chapter 24. Listen to what he said. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the 3rd day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And are the witness of these things, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. And they led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Could you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, this year's Pentecost feast is going to be different from any year before now. The Jews have been having this for years. They come together, they celebrate, they have that harvest to end the Feast of Weeks. And all of a sudden on this particular day, amen, things are going to be totally different, because something's going to happen. God's going to show up in a way he's never shown up in a whole course before. Amen. There were times in the Old Testament people were moved on by the Spirit, but it was never an outpouring unto all that believe. Could you say amen? You read the Bible, you'll see where the Spirit of God moved on Bezalel. He was a man of wisdom and knowledge and of all manner of workmanship. You see where the Spirit of God at times moved upon Samson, and he done great acts of power for God. You see where the Spirit of God touched David, and he unashamedly danced before the Lord and worshiped God. Could you say amen? Somebody said, well, preacher, I ain't doing that. Well, he didn't care. His wife didn't like it either. She was from royalty. She couldn't believe her husband down there dancing in the street. Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen some people at camp meeting going, I can't believe they're down there acting like that. Well, believe it. Maybe if you was acting like that, you wouldn't have seen them. Oh, come on, church, that's good preaching. Glory. Somebody said, you act like that when it feels right and I'm in it. Yes, sir. I don't mind at all. Hello? The Bible tells us at different times the Spirit of God touched Elijah, and Elijah anointed them with great anointings and moves of His Spirit from time to time. But all the Old Testament, they were looking to a promise. They were waiting on something to happen. The disciples come along, and Jesus turns around and said, now go tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you shall be endued with power from on high. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Notice what the Bible said. They were continually in the temple. What that means is they kept going to the hours of prayer they were supposed to, because Jesus said, I didn't do away with the Old Testament and the old way. I'm just going to enhance it with a new move and a new will, and a whole bunch of other people are going to get involved in the covenant because of my blood that I'm going to put on them. And so therefore they're not doing away with going to the temple like you're supposed to, and they're going and worshiping, but they're going back and they're still worshiping together. There's about 500 of them to start with, but it keeps breaking down till they get to about 120 believers, and there they are. One morning, everything's kind of like normal. Amen. I mean, the devil keeps waiting. He's already had one surprise. He put Jesus in the grave, thought he had him locked down. And on the morning of the third day, he got up, threw death off, and came out of that grave with victory over death, hell, and the grave, and victory for us. Could you say amen? And then he makes this promise, and the devil's sitting around going, I don't know what they think they're going to get, but if I can mess them around long enough, they'll all go home. See, that's what the devil's after. That's why he likes it when you feel a move and don't let it happen. Because the longer he can keep God from moving, the better chance somebody will give up and go to the house. They're sitting around praising God, continually going to prayer, going back to praise God. Amen. And there are people getting discouraged, and somewhere between prayer meeting and back to the praising, they're walking out, going home, saying, look, we've been here a long time. It ain't happened yet. It probably ain't going to happen. It didn't take but 10 days for 380 of them to give up. Lord. But all of a sudden, the devil gets up. I mean, it's been morning. Prayers are coming. They're up there praising God in the upper room. He thinks everything's cool. All of a sudden, there's a real problem hits. Amen. All of a sudden, there's a wind starts blowing. It's a contrary wind. One he's not used to hearing. One he's not used to seeing that much. But he realizes immediately, this ain't the kind of wind I want to get involved in. This ain't my kind of wind that I want coming around me. Because suddenly, there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and suddenly that upper room was filled with an anointing presence of Almighty God, and the glory of God began to move like never before among those 120 believers that was in that upper room. And suddenly they got caught on fire by the power of God. Could I tell you, if we've ever needed anything, we need a fresh anointing of the presence of God in the house of the Lord that'll set us on fire with His glory. The praise went up. The power came down. The saints went out and the sinners came in. That's the way it ought to be operating today. We ought to come to the house of God worshiping Him. Let the power of God come down and send an anointing in our life. Then go out to a lost and dying world and let them know about the God that changed us. Hallelujah. We've got to learn to tarry for God. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Psalms 37 verse 8. He said, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Hello? Glory. I don't know about y'all, that's pretty good inheritance. While it's falling apart, won't be after he gets through with it. It's going to be renewed. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth passed away. And in this world, there won't be any sea. Hallelujah. Mean there won't be any evil, no sin. Nothing going to be messing us up. We're just going to live in a world that's free of problems, free of pain, free of sorrow. And if we're loving God and working with Him, we're going to inherit that. Could you say amen? Amen. Y'all have heard Isaiah 40. Amen. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Amen. Learning to wait on God is something we need in the last day. Isaiah chapter 8 verse 16, for bind up the testimony and seal the law among his disciples. Why? And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look to him, or look for him. That was we ought to be doing. Could you say amen? Praise God. Listen, number one, and I've already made it there. That's 15, 20 minutes of preaching. I'm there in five, so give me a little time. Lord, I ain't going to be like some folks talk about. I ain't going to preach as long as the preacher and Mac, and then wear us out. Glory. Amen. I'm not going to tell you how long I'm going to preach, but I'm going to preach until I'm through. Glory. I understand I got a long time to catch up with Mac. So number one, the devil saw the body of Christ, the church, for the first time. Man, can you imagine this guy? He's sitting there and he's watching 120 different people worshiping God. Everything's rolling just like he thought it was. Nothing's happening. And suddenly, after all this wind, the windows fly open. God's moving. And suddenly he looks and he sees one entity. Not 120 people, but one entity. He sees the church in unity, in one mind, one accord, tied together through the anointing of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, he realizes, I got a problem. Hallelujah. Because he understands what God understood at the Tower of Babel. If man gets in unity and gets in one mind in what he wants to do, he can accomplish anything he wants to. And the devil realized, I have messed up. I've let them get unified. I've let them get pulled together. And because of that, I don't know what I'm going to do with this entity they're calling the church, but I can't hold it back any longer. Could you say amen to that, church? All of a sudden, the devil, instead of seeing 120 individuals, sees a church. I want you to know today, that's all he ought to see when he looks in alabaster, is the church of Almighty God, not individuals, but a power and anointing of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Even when they moved to the streets, notice what it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 5. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Can I stop and make a statement here? I had a guy actually tell me that if I wanted people of influence to come to this church, I had to change the way I preach. Because people of intelligence won't come to hear me. I thought about asking that guy to come here and preach just so I could tell him, y'all, he's the one. See if he can make the back door. Because if y'all don't understand, if you're hearing me, he just said you low intelligent. Glory. Some of them missed it. Hello? I said, what do you mean? He said, you got to preach different. If you're going to reach people of influence, and people, hey, we got a doctor in the church. Might be my daughter-in-law, but she's here. Glory. Hello? I got a biologist in my church. I start telling them, I got to be, it's my son. I don't care. Glory. We got people with education in here that listen to the gospel and don't need it changed for them. I mean, let's face it, church, if I've got to change the gospel to win somebody who's got some education or got some money, I don't need the money and I don't need the intelligence. I need the word of God, because that's what it's all about. And if I believe in the word and preach the word, I got a God who owns the mountains and he owns the cattle and he owns all the birds, and anything I need, my God will provide it according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Could you say amen? That just simply said devout men. That meant there were some educated, some men with some background. There were some people who had money and influence, landowners. Notice what happened. The Holy Ghost falls in the upper room. This bunch comes boiling out. Now this was noised abroad. The multitude came together. They didn't go, oh God, them Pentecostals in the street, let's go. No, they came together because they were interested in what was going on. Have you ever noticed that if God really starts moving in a church, folk will show up just to see what's happening? What do you think made the Brownsville church grow? They run about 500, 600, 700. Revival breaks out and you couldn't get in the building and see 3,000. He meant, why? Because if you got there after 12 o'clock, you were in a tent outside during that revival. Because if you didn't get there by 12, you wasn't going in the main building. Amen. I know I went many times and we had to get there by 12 o'clock to get in that main building. And we were in the balcony most of the time doing that. Amen. Got there at 12, stay there till 6, line up, go in the building and barely get in the balcony. Glory. But it was better than outside in that tent. Glory. Of course, I knew there were so many people in the tent. He stopped one night and said, would y'all say praise the Lord out there? And we could hear them in the building. Glory. Because they had so many people in the tent because they just wanted to be in the presence where God was moving because God was coming down. Can I tell you that it's time we in Alabaster realize it is not about the color of the building. It's not about whether we in a storm zone or not a storm zone or whether we got an immaculate building or what's going on. It's all about whether or not we got a move of God happening in the house of the Lord. And if anything, we eat on our knees saying, God, one more time, breathe on us, send the fire of your glory into the house of the Lord one more time. There was unity in the body. Psalms 133:1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for it is like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down the skirts of his garment. Now, just so y'all don't misinterpret ointment, that was his anointing oil. They poured it on his head. It ran down over his beard and across the skirt of his garment. And you know what the writer of Psalms says? Said that the unity of God is like an anointing. It draws it in. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what you getting at? When we forget who we are and start worrying about who he is, and we quit worrying about whether I get, and we start worrying about giving to him. Oh, some of y'all missing it. See, y'all walked in here with your grocery list and you upset now because I ain't got you in the checkout line. Some of you need to tap your grocery list and realize if I go for God to start with, everything else will take care of itself. Come on, church. But the problem the church world's got is we became so divided on what we want because it's all about us. Come on, church. Amen. Come on, nod your head. That's good preaching. Y'all seen me do it. Y'all just like the little dolls down at Walmart. You pull a string. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? We're going to paint the wall. What's that going to do for me? Nothing, but it'll make the wall look good. Glory. We've made church about us, about our problems. We think this is the only thing. Listen, church is not the only place where your problems get solved. I'm glad you come here, and I've got a God that can help you. But if it's all about you, it's the wrong thing. You ought to come through that door saying, this is a day that the Lord hath made. I have come to rejoice and be glad in him. Hallelujah. It's about unity. It's about getting together in Christ. The people of the upper room got one mind, one accord, went out in the streets and tore the place up. Glory. I just wish I could preach a sermon and see 3,000 people get saved. Glory. I've never got that close. I've preached and seen a couple of hundred get right overseas. I preached in California one night, saw 70 receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I didn't even have enough sense to realize the first one I was standing by got the Holy Ghost. I'm standing there and this kid's up there, got his hands in there, he's a Romanian kid. Your cousin was there, Anthony. We was doing a national convention and this kid's standing there and all of a sudden he goes, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus, I love you. And the Romanian pastor just lost it. And I'm standing like, what I miss? He said, he don't speak English. Some of y'all just missed it. The boy don't speak English, but he's speaking perfect English. Why? Because to him it was an unknown tongue. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God hit him, and he started speaking perfect English for a few moments while he was praising God. And it was because God moved in his life. You say, now, preacher, you was tricked. No, I wasn't, because I walked up to him later, said something to him, and he just stood there like he ain't said a word. Why? Because he didn't understand a thing I said. Everything I said to that boy, I had to have an interpreter. But God spoke to him and spoke through him, and that's the God I serve. Could you say amen? But wouldn't it be awesome if we had an outside move of God and 3,000 souls in this community came to know Jesus Christ because this church was so on fire of God that everybody drove by, felt an anointing, touched their life. Ephesians chapter 4, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. What's he talking about? Unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, to the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Bear with me. I'm not going to take much longer. I got three or four more pages, but I've got tonight too. Listen, Colombia, South America, drug cartels of the world dominate. The government is afraid of the drug cartels because they're better armed than the military, because they got more money to buy stuff for their people than the government has to buy for its army. I mean, we're talking about mafia with tanks, jet airplanes. We're not talking about what's them little airplanes that we get? Pfeiffer's got one. Lear. That's not Lear jets. These jokers have got machine guns and bombs in them. I mean, they're buying, you know, the planes from the Russians that go against our F-16s. And them poor guys down in Colombia afraid to get in a fight with a drug cartel. They're afraid they'll take them out. And there's a city so dominated by the drug cartel that nobody moves but them. And there's preachers in the city trying to get something done. And this one preacher gets to talking to the rest of them, and they start a prayer meeting, and they're coming together. And the drug cartel gets afraid because these guys are meeting and praying and seeking the face of God. And some of their people are starting to feel something in their lives, and they're starting to lay down their guns and talk about, we're not going against these people anymore. So they catch one of the men walking in his backyard and blew him apart. I'm not talking about shot him. They tore him up so bad they put pieces of him in a bag and buried it. They took machine guns and cut the man all to pieces, to the point nobody could even tell who he was. They thought this will end it. But his wife goes to prayer meeting the next night, and she says, God has spoke to me to take my husband's place. They won't shoot women. Four different men were dispatched to kill her, and someone else shot all four of them before they got there because they said, we don't kill women. They get to having prayer meeting, and she called them together one night, and she said, we've got to have total unity. We can't have any more of this, I'm in it and out of it, and I'm in it and I'm out of it. You can't be in it here and out of it at home. We've got to have the unity. And she said, I want to show you what real unity is. And she got all the preachers on the front row and gave them a glass of water with about that much water in the bottom. And she set a pitcher in the front. She said, I'll pour you water in there. They poured their water in. She said, now, this is your covenant. If you can get your water back out, one of them says, well, how you do that? She says, you'd have to get the exact molecular structured water that you poured in out of your glass to get out of the covenant. He said, you can't do that. She said, that's unity. That's pure unity. That's where it's not got anything to do about you anymore. It's all about the main body. It's all about what's going on, what it's going to do, how it's going to happen. You say, preacher, what's the results? To this day, there is no jail in that town because they don't need one anymore. All the drug cartel left the entire region. They moved out. No one carries guns. Nobody robs anybody. No does anything else. 95% of the congregations or people in that town are members of the congregations of that town and worship the Lord Jesus Christ and worship him and praise him. Their factories have took back off. Money's flowing into town and God's blessing them. Why? Because of unity. I'm telling you, friend, it is time. Some of us made up our mind. It is not going to make it because I got something. But if I can get in the unity of the Spirit and the power and the faith of Jesus Christ and line up with my brothers and sisters together, we can do anything. Could you say amen? Stand with me all over the house. Father, I thank you today, God, for your love. Master, it is not by might, nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith God. God, would you send an anointing of your presence? Let it burn up our agendas. Let us get into your vision, your will, in Jesus' name.